Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tafwai. Jailed Bahraini activist Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, who has been on a hunger strike for 56 days now, has been moved to a police hospital as his health is deteriorating, and that has raised fears for his life. Rights groups such as Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, including civil society groups of Persian Gulf countries, have said Khawaja, who also has Danish nationality, should be released. In this news analysis, we will discuss the latest on the revolution in Bahrain and Western Saudi-backed support for the regime in Manama.
This angry protest is not the first of its kind in the tiny Persian Gulf kingdom. People have been staging demonstrations on an almost daily basis since the revolution began in February 2011. Initially demanding reforms, the popular protest movement turned more radical in the face of deadly crackdown by Saudi-backed regime forces. In their fresh rallies, the protesters also called for the release of jailed human rights activist Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja. He has been on a hunger strike for nearly 2 months for his illegal detention.
He's a civil rights activist. He's calling for the right of the Bahraini to have a peaceful way of conducting their life, to have a government where the people will be representative of that government.
The protesters gathered in front of the U.S. Embassy and the Interior Ministry in the capital, Manama. Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, arrested last April, has been sentenced to life. Last week, Amnesty International urged Manama to free him because of fears he could die. The Al-Khalifa regime has detained thousands of people since last year. Scores have been killed or tortured. The regime has not even spared senior citizens, women and children. The rallies continue despite the crackdown on protests. Activists have now intensified their campaign against Formula One World Championship. Critics say holding the competition in Bahrain would mean ignoring the sufferings and sacrifices of protesters. Bahrain has long been criticized for its rights record. International rights groups have accused the kingdom of failing to implement reforms demanded by an independent commission which investigated the deadly crackdown in June. The West and its media outlets continue their silence, meanwhile, on the grave violations of human rights in the kingdom. Washington, which has its fifth fleet in Bahrain, has particularly been accused of double standard. It has failed to address the appalling repression of the pro-democracy movement in this small island, while pushing for regime change in Syria and keeping the status quo in Yemen. Analysts predict that the piling up of popular resentment in Bahrain is bound to backfire against the U.S. interests in the region.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of the News Analysis. Director of IGA, Ali Al-Ahmad, joins us from Washington. We have author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett joining us from Madison, and host of Current Issues TV and Radio, Hisham Talawi, who joins us on the phone from Lafayette, Louisiana. Well, gentlemen, welcome to this edition of the News Analysis. Ali Al-Ahmad, first to you. Prominent human rights activist Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja's life is on the line due to a hunger strike almost 2 months now while he has been under detention. Why is the Manama regime insistent on imprisoning him? And we also need to mention that there are other imprisoned opposition members in jails.
Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja is the leader of the human rights movement, not only in Bahrain. He is the father of the human rights movement in the whole Gulf. Abdul Hadi was a trainer of a human rights activist, and he was the first Gulf citizen to be the teacher of many across, not only in Bahrain, but in Saudi Arabia, Oman, Kuwait, and many across that part of the world owe him a lot, all those activists he trained and fathered, including myself. Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja is my teacher. So the fact that he's a symbol of freedom, human rights, and democracy, the regime in Manama view him as a threat, not only the regime in Manama, but also the other Gulf countries and even the United States. I want to say that in May 2008, the United States government blocked the entry of Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja to the United States while he was coming here to participate in a conference. Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja never carried a gun or called for anything violent, yet because he symbolized the human right and the ambition of the people of Bahrain and his ability to move people through non-violent means, that's why the Bahraini monarchy and its supporter in the Gulf and in the United States view him as a danger. And you see his determination, despite months of torture, determination to continue with this hunger strike, is an amazing capacity for this man that will, he has already entered history through his ability to continue. And the international community, the United States government support for the Bahraini monarchy, but not even commenting on the status of Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja, it shows you the U.S. involvement in oppressing the Bahraini people. Otherwise, they would have called at least on the Bahraini monarchy to release him or let him receive a fair trial, because he was not subject to a fair trial.
Well, Hisham Talawi, given the background that Ali al-Ahmad just gave on Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja, maybe you can tell us then why civil society groups of the Persian Gulf countries have called for his release, which has sounded alarm bells if he indeed dies. Their statement, quote, "The Bahraini government and the ruling family will be held responsible." Let's just suppose in the sudden case, if this happens, the passing away of Hadi al-Khawaja, what will happen? What effect may that have on the revolution?
First, let me say salam alaikum to my friend Kevin Barrett, and of course to everyone listening to us. And second, you know, this exposes the lies of the Western media and some of the Arab media out there that are covering both what is going on in Bahrain and what is going on in Syria in two different views, even though supposedly on the ground these two movements are very much one and the same. People asking for their human rights, people asking for democracy, people wanting to, even though the ones in Bahrain, they're not saying to remove the regime, and they are not being armed, and they're not violent, they're not killing people like the one in Syria. But yet, we see the double standard in the covering of what is going on in Bahrain from what is going on in Syria. And of course, the help that the United States is willing to give those in Syria that is withholding even human rights association with those people in Bahrain. Mm-hmm. Now, if al-Khawaja actually dies, which I you know, God forbid, I hope that this will not come to that point. But if he dies, I don't really believe, number one, that they will allow the regime, they will allow it to go that far. And if it does, unfortunately, everything is moved by the media. We will probably see some protests in Bahrain itself, maybe in some other countries, but I don't really think it will be covered widely, and I don't think it will be actually made international news. It's just it's not going to be what they will do. If they want to make a big story out of something like this, if it benefits them, and I mean the powers out there that are controlling the media, they will make it big. But if it does not benefit them, probably only a few people will hear of his passing. But I don't really believe that the regime will actually go let it go that far.
Well, Kevin Barrett, let's talk about what Hisham Talawi says in terms of the media. Just the mere silence of the United States. We had Ali al-Ahmad also talk about that. Let's open that up more. The U.S. has been criticized for a host of issues on Bahrain, their silence overall, but also, regarding this, Khawaja's case, Zainab al-Khawaja is the daughter of this human rights leader, Abdul Hadi Khawaja, and I'd like to quote her. She said, with one word from the American government and Obama, my father would be released. I am sure of that. Do you agree? And if so, why isn't the U.S. government or Obama making that call?
Well, that's a very, very good question. It's stunning, the hypocrisy coming out of Washington on these human rights issues. Abdulhadi al-Khawaja is a classic nonviolence activist and pro-democracy activist. If the words coming out of Washington were matched by deeds, he would be lionized by the U.S. government. He would be all over the front pages of American newspapers, on Fox, and so on. But of course, that's not happening because the U.S. has its fifth fleet in Bahrain, and the U.S. has made these unholy alliances, not only with the Al Khalifa regime in Bahrain, but also with the other retrograde Gulf monarchies. So he's entering the third month of his hunger strike and in very terrible shape. And Obama, the man who was supposed to put a new face on America's Mideast policy, is keeping quiet. And that tells you a lot about who really controls the political process in Washington, D.C. And the way the media isn't covering this in the U.S. Tells you a lot about who really controls the media here.
Who apparently, controls the media in the U.S.
The U.S.
when you
has
say that?
Lost.
Who are you referring to when you say the media control?
Over the decades, the media in the U.S. is controlled in a number of ways. One is by actual Central Intelligence Agency people who are planted in various media operations. The agency also deals directly with the owners and CEOs of media companies. And there's been this total conglomeration of media over the past couple of decades. And now about six organizations control just about everything that Americans see in the media. So it's a combination of government interference in the media, secret covert operations with the media, and the media being bought up by a very, very small number of wealthy individuals who cooperate with the U.S. government.
Okay, Ali Al-Ahmad, when we think about this whole situation with Bahrain, since it's been going on now for over a year, isn't the U.S. shooting itself in the foot in a matter of speaking if it wants to have any credibility in the region, especially given all these revolutions and uprisings that have occurred? I mean, the view on the ground cannot be so positive when, for example, the silence on Bahrain overall is continuing by the United States and its government.
You used earlier the word double standard, and I disagree with that because the U.S. does not have a double standard. It has a standard, and the standard is that it always, for the past 65 years at least, it has stood against the aspiration of the people in the region, and it has especially stood against those like Abdulhadi al-Khawaja, who are smart, educated, independent, nonviolent, progressive. The U.S. is much more in tune to support dark forces, just like the Saudi government. The monarchies of the Gulf receive the highest amount of support from the United States. These are regimes that are draconian, that are absolute monarchies, and implement the worst religious and social policies in the region. But they get support, absolute support, and conditional support from the United States. And Zainab, who is, I hold like a daughter to me, she was right. One call, not from Obama, just from Hillary or even the American ambassador in Bahrain to the Bahraini government that you must release Abdulhadi al-Khawaja, he would be released. The issue is that the United States government view Abdulhadi al-Khawaja and the other leaders as an enemy, and they will not shed a tear or be concerned if they die. And that is the absolute truth. Unfortunately, some people might say, oh, this is extreme. No, this is the reality. We are in Washington, and we realize how the U.S. government view the region and view the people. And Abdulhadi al-Khawaja, if he passes away, will be a permanent mark on the American record in the region, and they will not, they cannot then say, oh, why do they hate us? If you stand with the brutal governments in the Gulf, and Obama's political rhetoric that we will not stand with the oppressors was false. He is standing with and supporting directly the government of Bahrain against its own people. And it's not, it has nothing to do. People say, oh, it's because of the fleet, because of the base. That's untrue. Remember, the United States invaded Panama and toppled the Noriega regime, and there was a larger base, and there's still a larger base in Panama than that one is in Bahrain. It has nothing to do with the base. It has to do with the cultural view of the U.S. administration toward the Bahraini people and toward Arabs and Muslims in general.
And of course, we need to expand more, and if you can, Hisham Talawi, about how the U.S. has been supporting this regime. It includes training its security forces. Back in December, the Florida Police Commissioner was sent there. And another point, continuing to arm the regime, such as with the deadly tear gas. And of course, maybe you can make a reference for us, this $53 million arms sale that the U.S. government has found a loophole to send in chunks of $1 million of military equipment, which includes the tear gas. This is a stark contrast to how it's approached Syria, which has included a regime change and arming the opposition. Tell us why this different approach is used.
Well, the different approaches used now, we must understand that the United States foreign policy is heavily influenced by the policies of Israel and especially the Likud party, which is the one, happens to be the one in power, and mainly the fundamentalist movement there in Palestine. The Jewish fundamentalist movement, it is heavily, heavily influenced by that. So anything that you see the United States doing may not necessarily be in the best interest of the United States, but it goes along and it works with the larger plan for the Middle East that was set up a long time ago, and now we see the final phases of that plan actually in action. So these little things of what they are doing, this is basically nothing but management of the situation at hand. Because the Arab world is divided into different people, different countries, different regimes, and therefore they have to manage all these peoples and all these regimes for the best interest of, number one, what would work for Israel, and number two, what would work for the United States. So the United States is being used as a tool. And unfortunately, you know, my colleague Al-Ahmad said, if, you know, God forbid that Al-Khawaja would pass away, that the United States will somehow will be tarnished. I believe the United States has done a pretty good job in killing Muslims over there, especially in Iraq. And unfortunately, the media can change that within a few weeks, because right now, with the horrible atrocities that the United States have committed in Iraq, over a million dead, et cetera, 4 million refugees, and sending an Arab country into stone ages, I guarantee you the status of the United States in many of the Arab countries have changed. People do forget. Give them a couple of months of media, concentrated media, on polishing what the United States is doing. And now what the United States is doing with helping the supposedly revolution, the Arab Spring in Libya and in Tunisia, etc., Egypt, etc., etc., that has helped to polish the face of the United States. So putting a little bit of mascara on an ugly face, many times it works. So unfortunately, we don't see that if the passing of Al-Khawaja, we're not going to see hatred towards the Americans as such, because it is not going to be publicized as it should be in the Arab media or in the Western media.
Okay, Kevin Barrett, let me bring you in here. You know, we've heard about this big plan that the United States has had for years for the Middle East on paper. We have seen what has occurred, but has it been a success? I mean, you can't look at Libya and say it's a success. Really, we're seeing how things are being gone in disarray regarding the eastern part of that country. We're looking at what has happened in Tunisia, looking at what it's in Egypt. Is it a containment policy now, or is it part of this counter-revolution as it has been categorized for the U.S.? And of course, then it comes into play the double standards they've had, for example, on Bahrain.
Well, I actually agree with my friend and colleague, Dr. Tlaoui, that the policy is being set more by Zionists than as a carefully thought out strategy for U.S. control of the Middle East. And I think that the policy that's in place now is more along the lines of the policies developed in Tel Aviv over the past few decades. The Clean Break Memorandum commissioned by Benjamin Netanyahu, for which he employed the Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, and the other folks from Project for New American Century, was part of a continuation of this long-term Israeli strategy to divide and conquer the Middle East by breaking it up along ethnic and sectarian lines. And that's what the U.S. Is doing now because of the fact that, extreme Zionists control American Mideast policy, especially since the coup d'etat of September 11th, 2001. So in terms of the policy towards Bahrain, I agree that's not just a matter of the Fifth Fleet being there, but it's part of this larger strategy in which the Zionists are destabilizing certain areas such as Libya and especially Syria, whereas they're trying to stabilize these retrogressive Gulf monarchies that are essentially in bed with the Zionists.
But the monarchies themselves are under question in terms of their stability, aren't they? Like Saudi Arabia, weekly protests. Looking at Jordan, weekly protests there. So how is it that this policy, Ali al-Ahmad, do you think is going to work as they're trying, as our guest in Madison mentioned there, to break up along sectarian lines, given now what has transpired when we look at the attitudes from Egypt, for example, towards Israel?
I don't think we should blame Israel here. You know, I am not, I think it's the United States that has made the difference. The United States is leading a counter-revolution with Saudi Arabia in Yemen and in Bahrain and in Egypt as well. So you are really talking about the United States, the White House, President Obama, and Hillary Clinton, who disregard the region and its people in exchange of their you know, political gains, personal gains. It could be financial, and the fact that they have a cultural inhibition against the rights and the value of the people there, the Arab and Muslim people in the Middle East. So you are really, the square, the blame is on the United States because it has been supported, the Bahraini and other monarchies. Yes, there are some influence from some Jewish organizations in the United States on the administration here. That's why the Bahraini monarchy appointed a Jewish ambassador to recruit some Jewish organizations to support and defend the monarchy. And they are happy to do it because as long as you know, you're their friend and send money to the Clinton Foundation and other organizations, they will do it. They do not care for the blood and suffering of the Bahraini people, and that has to be addressed in a different program. But the blame really lies square on the White House because they know and they have been informed about the situation in Bahrain and Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja's situation, yet they look the other way and they can care less. And they don't care if the United States itself as a country is damaged, its reputation is damaged, because they think we are too big to worry about a small nation and Bahrain. And Bahraini people are not going to be able to, if they hate us all, it's okay, we can tolerate that. And you can see that in the region, their attitude is to ignore the people and their voices. Of course, as we say in Arabic, that sometimes the smallest thing can hurt you the most. And maybe this is an example of how the United States will suffer in the region, and it will lose its credibility and influence because of its involvement in oppressing the people of Bahrain.
Okay, thank you very much. Director of IGA, Ali al-Ahmad from Washington. I'd also like to thank author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett from Madison and host of Current Issues TV and Radio, Hisham Tlaoui, joined us on the phone from Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Newsroom at PressTV.ir for any comments or suggestions. I'm Kavit Tafwai from the entire team here in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.